Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour, chapter 4, the great book of Hosea. Hosea in the Hebrew tongue meaning salvation. And this is our Father's way of telling you how He intends to bring salvation to pass by sending us the Savior, which is to say Yeshua, or Jesus, as we would say in English. And that Savior of all. In this fourth chapter, it has to do with knowledge. The very first verse of chapter 4 says, "Hear the word of the Lord." And that's exactly what he means. He sends you this letter. And then as we covered in the last lecture in verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no, there shall be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children." That's your congregation. A priest that does not preach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby it is God's word that is taught rather than traditions of men, he's going to spoil even your congregation. That's what the word children should be translated. And certainly, he continues on then, and teaching. And many might have a little bit of trouble, and some don't understand. But he's coming down on both the priest and the layperson. Why? Because he sent a letter to everyone, and he expects one to understand. But it is true, as always, that judgment does start at the pulpit. So if you're going to mend a pulpit, you better know what you're doing, because you're going to answer for it. Line by line, precept by precept. Chapter 4, verse 10, a word of wisdom from our Father in Yeshua's name, verse 10 reads. And the subject again being the priest and the congregation. "For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord." You know, and so it is. There is no increase in perversion. All right, there's no families, and they soon go away. But they can't find enough. Nothing satisfies them. Nothing makes them happy when they turn away from the Word of God. Verse 11: "Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart." The heart should translate brain, your mind. Whoredoms and wine. And that type of life will simply ruin your mind. It will turn you into an apostate, whereby you lose everything. And so it is. Verse 12. "My people ask counsel at their stocks." That's their idols. Not from God. But they ask counsel from their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. The staff is a witching rod, okay? Let the rod tell us what to do. Or roll the rocks and let the rocks tell us what to do. Or flip the coin and let the coin tell us what to do. You're supposed to ask the Father. Christ rent the veil of the Holy of Holies from top to bottom, where you can go in any time. You don't need to talk to some dumb stick or some dumb preacher that doesn't understand God's word to start with. Okay. You can go straight into our Father. But their witching rods declareth unto them, "For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God." Now, basically, this is written to the 10 tribes that went bad from the get-go at Gilgal, where Jehoabam built an idolatrous temple there, placed calves in it, and said, "You don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship God. You can worship right here at home." Only it was false. That started down a bad road for the 10 tribes. God hadn't lost them, but they've lost themselves. They don't even know who they are. They go whoring after false religions. That's what God is talking about here. Okay, verse 13. "They sacrifice upon the tops of mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good, we're hidden here from the world. We can get away with anything we want to in this grove worship. Therefore, your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. Why? Because if that's what you're teaching, this makes them apostates. If you haven't taught the difference between the true Christ and the false Christ, well, I never heard there was going to be a false Christ. It's the Antichrist. God warns of him coming. And the whole world is going to whore after him. That's what this book is about. It's telling you to stay true to your heavenly Father and his word. That was the first line of this chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. Not some stock, not some man, but our Heavenly Father. Listen to him. Listen to his word and be educated. Don't be destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Because lack of knowledge in this generation will take you down Primrose Lane to worship the false one. If you don't know any better, ignorance, bliss, letter row. Verse 14. When these daughters and wives go into harlotry, 14, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses. Well, how come? When they commit adultery, for themselves, that's to say the husbands, are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. These are temple harlots. Okay. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. If you don't understand, you're going to be deceived. Okay, you want to get set for that. That's why it's ever so important to understand the Word of God, that you are not destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Okay. That isn't different. A child can understand that. What he's saying is, I'm not going to punish the wives and the daughters for harlotry because the old boys, the head of the family, are practicing false religion right in what they call the temple of God. You know, that gets pretty serious, and you can understand why our father's heart aches. When gifts to God are taken to build houses that God's word is never taught in. Oh, maybe one verse here and a verse there, but never these tribes headed by Ephraim, the 10 tribes that he said, I'm going to scatter. Name that first boy Jezreel. Jezreel meaning the scattering of the tribes all over the world, but then the name in the Hebrew also means sowing. That those people are sowed and they sprout and that truth comes up all over the world whereby the truth is taught. The word of God. Hear the word of God. Don't be an apostate. For we're in the generation that a whole generation, in an instant, if they're not careful, will turn to worshiping the supernatural one that comes as so described in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Claiming to be God, but he's a fake. You didn't hear about that? Then you have lack of knowledge. It's written plainly where anyone can understand. Don't try to excuse yourself. Get cracking in the Word of God and pray for knowledge. Pray for understanding. He will assist you. Do not be an apostate. That's simply one that falls off and is destroyed because they worship something other than God. In ignorance, well, perhaps. Verse 15. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal. Neither go ye up to Beth-Aven, nor swear the Lord liveth. Don't play religion with me, is what the Father is saying. Do you know what happened at Gilgal? This is where Jeroboam built this sacrificial temple with the calves and this idolatrous worship that took place there. It's too far and too hard to go down to Jerusalem. Just worship here. You'll be fine. But instead of Bethel, that's what the Beth of En is a play upon. Instead of Bethel, you have Beth of En, and of En means naught, nothing, nada. The house of absolutely nothing. Well, it's our church. It's a house of nothing. If God's word is not taught there, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, our Father is not happy with the situation. That's why he punishes those that, as a nation even. You want to get your head out of the sand if you want God's blessings, and then you are immune to the correction as he corrects others. Verse 16, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. That verse could be misunderstood by the translation quite easily. This old heifer that backslides, I mean, she wants to play religion. But I told you before, in the cattle business, when you get a fence jumper, that's a backslider. If you get you buy an old heifer and bring her home and she jumps the fence, you load her right back up and take her right back to the sale barn and get rid of her. Okay. Because she will have the whole herd jumping fences and tearing them down. You don't want to be bothered with backsliders. Okay. Fence jumpers. You don't need them, and life is too short for that. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Well, isn't that sweet? No, it isn't. What he's saying here, he's never going to let them get past milk, and this large place is a place that's unprotected. Okay, that's what the Hebrew means. He's going to kick them out there if they want to be on their own. He's going to kick them out there, and they're going to be on their own, and they'll never get anything but milk of man, not of God. That means baby food, because they'll never quite grow up. Verse 17, Ephraim, this is always the 10 tribes, my friends, okay? Because he was the largest. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. He can't leave him alone. And he's joined means he's with them. He's mated to it. They're so thick with idols and idol worship, of worshiping something other than the Word of God and God Himself, that they're lost. Absolutely, you can't bother Him. Well, what does it mean, you can't bother Him? He won't listen to you. I mean, it's very rare that you're going to get a seed that'll sprout out there and someone come forth and say, I've been misled. I've known since a child there was more to God's Word than I've been taught. They're out there, and that's why we teach, is to pull forth. You see, the 10 tribes lost themselves. God didn't lose them. He knows exactly where they are. The Assyrian, which we're going to be reading about in the next chapter or so, took them north over the Caucasus Mountains. They settled Europe, then America and Canada, and all the Christian nations all over the various hemispheres. But there's some of them you can't bother. Verse 18, their drink is sour. They have committed whoredoms continually. Her rulers with shame do love give ye. Now, many scholars say that can't be translated properly, that it's just bad. It isn't. What it's saying is, gimme. If I were to translate give ye to gimme, 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 would it make a little more sense? Because that's what it means. That's all they can do in their so-called churches. Their drink is sour. It isn't from our Father. And they have committed whoredoms continually. And her rulers with shame do love. That means give me your sacrifices. Gimme, gimme, gimme. That's all they can say is gimme, gimme, gimme. Give me this offering, give me that offering, give me a birthday offering, give me a love offering, give me a tithe offering, give me, give me, give me. I think that translates quite well, and I can understand why some pastors might want to not translate it correctly. Verse 19, listen carefully. The wind hath bound her. This wind is the spirit, the ruach of whoredoms. Okay. Listen to it carefully. The spirit of whoredoms hath bound her up in her wings. Her wings is a skirt. The very spirit of her whoredoms is the wind blowing against her skirt so strongly that it disturbs her gait, okay, her walk. And they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. They will be someday. But while they're giving those sacrifices, they think it's holy. Holy, holy, holy. And how would I know the difference? Well, check it out in God's Word. Tell me, you read the last verse and the next to the last verse in this chapter. What was the first sentence again? The first sentence was, "Hear the word of the Lord." What was the sixth verse? Don't ever forget it. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge." And when you have someone that rejects it, fine, that's good. They made the choice. Let them go. But treasure those that do hear the word of God, that love our Father enough that they don't go whoring after false teachings, apostates, and things, traditions of men that make void the word of God. That is a sad, sad situation. The gimme, 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 gimme boys. That's who God's talking about. Judgment starts at the pulpit. Chapter 5, verse 1. "Hear ye this, O priest." Here we get to it here. "And hearken, ye listen to me, ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, all of you, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you, because you have been a snare on Mizpah, and a net spread upon Tabor." In other words, Tabor is a high mount of false worship, where they spread nets there to entrap people into fake religions, fake beliefs, Ishtars and others. Mizpah is supposed to be the watchtower. Well, what do you have a watchtower for? To have a watchman up there watching the truth, watching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, giving the warning of the generation and the things that are to come. Father says, "I want to talk to you that are supposed to be watchmen, and I want to talk to you that entrap my people in your nets of false teaching." Verse 2, "And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all." In other words, the reason they make slaughter is they cause one to become spiritually deader than a hammer. And to cause one to be spiritually dead is a worse sin than murder itself. Because you've killed the very soul of an entity when you deceive it. That's why it's so serious that priests want to be teachers of God's word must be very careful. You certainly do not want to fall into that category of the revolters. Verse 3, "I know Ephraim." God didn't lose the 10 tribes. You see, that's what this has reference to. God says, "I know them, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled." In other words, as a prostitute leaves her husband, "You've left me, the Almighty God." And, you know, he has followed those tribes through the captivity as their migrations to the north, blessing them, protecting them, leading them. When they stumble and fall and don't know where to go, he always ends them up until he develops them into a nation of Christianity for the Savior himself, even down to the power of superpowers of all superpowers. God leads the blind and gives them that opportunity. And they left him. He's never lost them. He knows exactly where they are. It's real sad that most people can't trace their own generation back a time or two. "I don't know where I came from." Maybe you came out from under a rock somewhere, huh? Take a little interest in your people. God's children. Verse 4. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. And they're not going to fashion themselves to return to the Word of God. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. Their ignorance has destroyed them, their lack of knowledge. Okay. And their spirit of whoredoms did what? We learned it in the last chapter. It blows against her skirts. That's to say, Mother Israel, the lost Israel, if you would, the 10 tribes, until it disturbs her gait that she can hardly move. How would she remove that? Turn back to God and have Him cleanse it? And there wouldn't be that spirit disturbing your gait, and you could prosper and be blessed as God's children, His elect, are. Okay. That's simple. Verse 5. And the pride, or let's call it arrogance, of Israel doth testify to His face openly. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. Into what? Fall into what? Deception. Apostasy. You're in that generation. It's going to happen. Why? Lack of knowledge. It will cause you to fall. It will destroy you. Verse 6. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find Him. He hath withdrawn Himself from them. You can't blame Him. I mean, you know, well, where would they look? Well, they look here, they look in this religion, they look in that religion, they listen to what this man says, they listen to what that man says. Have you ever really stopped and thought, maybe I should listen to what God says? If I want to please God, maybe I should listen to Him and gain His knowledge so that I'm not destroyed or misled? Let me think a minute. That's what upsets God. If I don't listen to Him, then listen to Him. It's that simple. A child can figure that out. Verse 7. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. In other words, when they're practicing whoredoms, the children, they don't know who they are. And many say, well, how could that be? Well, I'll tell you what. Any student of God's Word knows where Ephraim is. He knows where the 10 tribes are. They have many children everywhere. I would like for you to walk out in the street of your city and ask the children, who is your father? Where are you from? And let's see what they say. I think they will consider themselves strangers. I think they will call themselves foreign, not knowing that they are the children of God. Why? Because of the whoredoms, the apostasy, the deception, and the lack of knowledge, proper teaching of who our children are, the children of the living God, those tribes that went north. And what it's saying, it's just going to take a short time to, and it will devour them with their portions. And that short time is when? Verse 8. Blow ye the trumpet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. That's the hills of Jerusalem. And Ramah is the hill. Cry aloud at Bethaven, that old empty house that God's Word is never taught in, except you might get a one-verse Charlie in there sometimes that might get a verse or two off. At Bethaven, after thee, O Benjamin. And this needs a little help here. What it's saying is, you see, in these tribes of Ephraim, which are the 10 tribes, Benjamin was the furthest south. What this is a warning cry. The Assyrian's coming. He's already passed and down to Benjamin. You better get ready for it. And this is how it will be when that false one comes in the end times. It's going to happen real suddenly in a very short period of time. That month that was spoken of, some like to translate that month as a new moon, a new worship day of theirs. But it's going to be a very short time. And what a wake-up it's going to be, because the Assyrian, who is a type of Antichrist, is already up to Benjamin. That's the final of the 10 tribes. They're all captive, in other words. Let's go with the next verse. Verse 9. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be, not maybe, is I've given the warning. Are you going to take it? Are you going to listen to the warning? 10. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. That's the landmark, the boundaries. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. They forget who they are and what country they are. They keep moving the landmark over to claim something else. Verse 11, the 10 tribes again. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. The commandment of what? Not the commandment of God, the false commandments. The commandments of falsehood. The commandment of the false preachers. And the day of vengeance comes. Okay. And poor old Ephraim. You want to learn those boundaries as they were written in the great song of Moses, where God set those bounds. And he guarded his children as the children of Adam as the apple of his eye, and set those bounds. Don't move them. That's Deuteronomy chapter 32, the great song of Moses. That is to say, those that overcome the Antichrist will sing as they're on their way into the eternity. Don't listen to false teachings or false judgment. It is a sad situation. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 33 gives you a good look at that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to turn there real quick. Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 28, 33, the fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away. Wonder how your 401k is doing. So that thou shalt be mad from the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. You're going to look around you and see a terrible correction coming. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore blotch that cannot be healed, for the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And skipping on to verse 43, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to see thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Arrogance and control. Where are you going, and who are you going to believe? The Lord God, who promised he would send this to correct if you continue the whoredoms, if you continue allowing ignorance to deceive you, whereby you are destroyed, then that is your choice. And returning then to verse 12 of Hosea chapter 5, okay. And verse 12 reads, therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. I'm going to eat a hole in all the precious things you have. Better hang on to your wallet, friend. And this is a time you certainly wouldn't want to go into debt over your head. Okay, I mean, you want to keep out, and you want to be careful. We're in the generation that many of these things come down. You can almost smell it. Verse 13. You know, a moth is an awful little old thing that's unseen by a lot of people, but it can sure destroy some beautiful clothes in a hurry. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jarib. That means adversary, okay? Yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound? You know, go ahead and ask Satan the Assyrian to heal you. That's what they're going to do, and that's what God is saying here. When you go to Isaiah chapter 14, you will find that the Assyrian is one of the names of Satan as Antichrist. Okay. When even in the millennium, in that 14th chapter, he's cast into a pit, and people walk up to the edge of the pit during the millennium and look over and see Satan bound. Is this the man that deceived the world? He does a good job of it. He's the adversary. Verse 14, for I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, that's our father speaking, and as a young lion in the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. Let's continue and complete the chapter 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They shall seek me early. They're going to hurt, and they're going to hurt a bunch. They're going to be turning back to the Father. They're going to be praying to find the true Father, whereby He is blessed, whereby they acknowledge. That means they seek knowledge rather than distraction, rather than whoredoms. You know, false teachings is what he's talking about. Hey, I wouldn't miss these lectures on the minor prophets are like reading tomorrow's newspaper. We're in that time. You want to pay attention. Don't miss any of them. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand the returning to the Father in that sense of the example set forth in the end times of the rebuilding of God's most favorite place on earth. Also, within these two books, you find the hidden secret, hidden from most people's eyes, that the study in the Hebrew and the Chaldee that is given in these particular books will teach you how that the priesthood itself became polluted during this period of time. This is to say about 400 years before Christ walked the earth to the time that he did walk, instructing you very wisely, setting the example of how it is that we gather back to Christ himself. Ezra and Nehemiah, fantastic. You'll enjoy them.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. Hey, that number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you got a question, you share it, won't you? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination. Let's don't judge people. That's important. Everyone has the right to make their own mind up and choose which way they're going to go. They're either going to go with Father or they're going to go some other way. All other ways are a great loss, but it's their choice. And certainly that's as it should be. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, always a pleasure hearing from you. Got a prayer request? We can do away with the number and the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. You don't even have to say it out loud. You know something? He has time for you. I know a lot of you are hurting right now and you because of the correction that is in this world. Let him know you love him so he can bless you. Takes away the pain. You see, Satan can't heal you, but God can. Okay. He can touch you. Talk to him. Let him know you love him. Once you do that, Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and questions. We're going to go with Thomas from South Carolina. How was Cain the first murderer, and if the law was not given at this time? Well, that brought the law to pass. Okay, Cain wasn't capital punishment was not practiced upon him because the law didn't exist at that time. But I assure you, after that murder, the law did exist. Okay. Now, that's for premeditated. That's not for a crime of passion or many other crimes. You have to be know a little bit about God's law before you just jump in. Okay. A wise person never judges anything until he hears both sides. Okay. So, he kind of set the law in place. Your documentation for the fact that he is called a murderer, you will find in Matthew chapter 23, where their offspring are guilty of the murder of all from righteous Abel to Zacharias, who was murdered between the porch and the altar. Okay, that's by Christ himself. Roy from California, I have a question. My question is, where can I find a statement which I have read in my King James Bible, but I cannot recall where to find any the statement? Jesus came the first time as the female type, giving of self for others, but the second coming, he will be the male type, wreaking vengeance upon his enemies. Well, I think probably you read it in a commentary. Like the book of Luke, he came as God's servant, the branch. And in John, he came as King of Kings, the Avenger. So at the same time, if we talk about languages, and I do not choose to go there, in the feminine and the male gender of languages, in the Hebrew especially, or Greek, But it is used sometimes as an idiom or a metaphor at the risk of confusing people. But I would recommend probably that you read Zacharias chapter 9, verse 9 for the first time, and then verse 10 for the second coming. And I think maybe it'll help your question. Pamina from... I think that's the name of the city. From Florida, I'll just say. Are all sins forgiven, and are we really washed white as snow? Do we get to be with Jesus if we ask forgiveness and live God's word, even after we were wayward for a long time? Of course you can. You know, I feel that... I see now that the name is Wendy. Wendy, if from Florida, if you, I think maybe you're having a little trouble forgiving yourself. Christ has already forgiven you, okay, and He forgives all sins. I think you're having a little trouble forgiving yourself, and you need to do that. We're just not perfect. Look at poor old Paul. Paul was a great persecutor of the church. I mean, he was destroying Christ's church. And God struck him down on the road to Damascus, and Paul would be as zealous for the church as he was against it, and would write most of the New Testament at the hand of God. So you're white as snow, period. So you can forgive yourself and all others and serve God. Be happy, girl. Virginia from Oklahoma. Does Jesus sit his feet on the Mount of Olives at the beginning of the millennium or at the end of the millennium? At the very beginning. Okay, that's when that seventh trump sounds. And as it, you know, a good place to read of this is in Zechariah chapter 14. Boy, I mean, it tells you how it opens a way right to that east gate, right across Kedron, and plows through. Nellie from Texas. What do you believe is the deadly wound? Is it anything to do with our government election going on now, or are we entering the sixth Trump now? Oh, we're not. The sixth Trump doesn't happen until the Antichrist appears, okay? And the deadly wound is to a political system, not an individual, okay? Okay. So we're not there yet. It doesn't happen until Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. Okay. And could the two witnesses be Enoch and Moses? Well, there are some people believe that. Enoch was a great teacher of the fallen angels, not to mix with them. But who appeared with Christ at the Mount of Transfiguration? It was Moses and Elijah. Okay. So, and nobody knows for sure. So, your input, good input. David from Kentucky. When Satan and his followers go to hell, will they burn and suffer forever, or will they just perish? Thank you and God bless. You are welcome. You know, when you are blotted out, and when God is, it is written over more than one time that God is a consuming fire. When something is consumed, does it still exist? No, it does not. It is consumed forever and ever and ever. There is an acrostic in the 37th Psalm. If you have a companion Bible, you can make it out. Otherwise, you would have to be a Hebrew scholar and know the Hebrew, have a set of the original Hebrew manuscripts. But if you have the companion Bible, it will show you that the hidden message is, the question was asked in the acrostic, why does it always seem like the wicked win or are blessed? They get ahead. And God makes a three-prong attack. He said, in the center, they are going to be like the fat of a lamb on a spit. And that fat drips into the fire and it goes up in smoke forever and ever and ever. The third part of it is, and you're going to be there to see it. So, they're blotted out. Heaven is a beautiful place. There will not be one tear. We cannot have a heaven where we have this lake of fire and we got people screaming and yelling and get me out of here. And they're just, I mean, burning alive forever and ever. That'd really be quite a heaven, wouldn't it? You know, stop and think about it a minute. I wouldn't want to go there, okay? I'd want to be on the other side of the pond or something. There won't be any ponds, so that couldn't be. They're blotted out. Okay, they don't exist. That's why there's no tears. You won't miss your loved ones that don't make it because they won't even. They will have be the same as never having existed. Mary from South Carolina. Mary, when you after surgery, sometimes your memory does slip, okay? But God's not going to punish you for that. Don't you even give it a second thought or worry about it, all right? And thank goodness he's still got something for you to do or you wouldn't survive the surgery. And I'm sorry that it was that you were out such a long time during it, okay? But many times that memory will come back. And I understand you studied with us and had it all down pat, and now it's gone. It'll come back. You be patient. God loves you, and he's sure not going to punish you for it. All right? Don't let somebody put you on a guilt trip. God loves you. I sure love you. And so does all the family. You hang tough. Clark from Utah. Question. Where in the Bible does it say if you listen to a fool, you are a bigger fool than the fool is? Basically, all through the Proverbs, but start with Proverbs 17 and start with verse 7. That's easy to remember, 17:7, and read the whole chapter. Boy, it tells you what happens to a person that listens to a fool or has to do with a fool. You want to give advice to a fool? You know, have you ever poured water on a duck's back? You know, and so forth. Okay, it makes a lot of good common sense. A lot of poor girls, they were supposed to honor their husband, and they make a mistake and marry a fool. And he's going to lord it over her, and he's a fool? If she listens to him, she's a bigger fool than he is. Okay. So, I want everybody to get along, all right, and be real happy, but God gives some good advice in the Proverbs. You want to read them. They were written by a very wise man. at the hand of God. Krista from where is Krista from? I can't tell. Okay. Anyway, I have a question for you. Who are the 144,000 listed in Revelation? What will they do and when will they do it? Well, they have to be sealed before the sixth trump sounds, the end comes, and there are 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel. This is why the word is being taught, so that there will be some that will even go astray when Israel goes astray, as it's written in Ezekiel, the millennium chapters, verse 44. But then they will hear that truth, and when they see God's elect delivered up before the Antichrist, they're going to come out. They're going to remain virgins. That is to say, they're not going to wed out of season to the false one. They're going to hold for the true father. And that's who they are. The main thing is, you want to be one of God's elect, if that's possible, if you have ears to hear. Jerry from Mississippi, Revelation 21:1, please explain. Well, the Greek is very specific. It says, the earth at the end of the millennium will be rejuvenated. Not that we're going to get a new earth. We're going to put up with this same one. Okay. As a matter of fact, God loves it. He's going to set up his kingdom right here on this earth. But it is rejuvenated or made back into like new condition. And what a wonderful place that will be. And there won't be anything here that offends at that time. No tears or anything else. All the wicked, they're gone. Alan from South Carolina. Sir, I have a question concerning John 3:1-5, where Nicodemus questioned and was answered by Christ Jesus concerning being born again and born of water. Is this teaching in the born form of warning of the fallen angels? Yeah, it is. Because first of all, it doesn't say in the Greek born again. It says you must be born from above. Meaning, what did the fallen angels do? They weren't born from above. They're fallen. They fell from above to pounce on women. Okay, that's exactly what they did. And the women conceived and Geber were born, and that was against God's plan. John 17:12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. And you want to know who that son of perdition is? It wasn't Judas. Okay. The son of perdition is Satan. He's the only person, not Judas. Judas still has to go through judgment day. But Satan, as the king of Tyre, as it is listed in Ezekiel chapter 28, in verses 18 and 19, has already been sentenced to death. There's no way Christ could save him, because God had already given him the death sentence. Okay, and that's who he was talking about. You can read of the son of perdition in one other place, real neat, and it's knowledge one should know. You can read of him in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, where Paul says, don't let some man deceive you, some letter or some spirit, that the real Christ won't return until after the son of perdition is revealed, standing in the holy place, claiming to be Jesus, claiming to be God. Okay, that's knowledge that is very important at this time. Joan from Pennsylvania, could you please explain briefly the meaning of the three world ages? My husband, a non-believer, has asked me questions about this, and I don't know enough about it. Thank you for helping. Well, you're very welcome. If your husband is really interested, the three earth ages, there was an age before this. That's why that science, when it says this earth is millions of years old, it is. And God's word in the Hebrew manuscript states it's very old. I have a tape titled The Three Earth Ages. It might do you well to have it so that you could help your husband with it. Okay. If you only see this one earth age, you've got blinders on. your knowledge is very limited, even in God's Word, because God mentions many times that first earth age and why we're in this earth age. And many non-believers believe after they see the actual fact of God's purpose and plan of salvation because of what went wrong in the first earth age. John from Florida. Again, let me give you one more clue. The three earth ages and three heavenly ages, just one heaven and one earth, but three different ages. The word in the Greek is eon, okay, time. Okay, you'll find in 2 Peter chapter 3. Okay, John from Florida. Does Easter and Passover fall on the same day, celebrated on the same day as the resurrection? That's right. But, you know, you need to do yourself a favor and check out the word Easter. You're going to find it only one time in God's Word of the King James Bible. It's going to be in the book of Acts. But when you go back to the Greek manuscripts, it disappears. Why? It was never there. Because the word in the Greek manuscripts is Passover. Okay. There's a reason why they both fall at the same. The preachers decided they could get more people in if they would take in the fertility rite, where they rolled eggs of fertility in the forest to fertilize the women in the area, and quick like a bunny, okay, the bunny rabbit. You know, they brought that right into the church. Karen from Iowa, I am having trouble with the seven seals. Does each seal consist of one trump and one seal? Where can I document each? Which Bible would make study easiest? I have, and I'm not going to mention what, just a regular King James and a Strong's Concordance is what I recommend. Okay? Your newer version sometimes will throw you a curve. You don't have the ability to go back to the original. That is to say Greek, Latin, Greek, Hebrew, or Aramaic. And that's important. Okay. But you have the seals are to be sealed in your forehead. What's in your forehead? Your mind. And what the seals mean is God's elect, or those that choose to follow Him, should have these seals loaded into their mind. That is to say, what happens there. And then they align, all seven seals are given before the first trump sounds. But the sixth seal and the sixth trump and the sixth vial align with the appearance of Satan. Okay? So, if you have trouble with that, we have the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, that would help you. Or you can catch it the next time it's taught on television. Laura from South Carolina. What does the Pentecost mean, and why was it 50 days after the resurrection of Christ? Well, you're going to be surprised at yourself, because what does Pentecost mean? Okay, it is penta, five, cost, a penta, 50 days, the 50th day. That's what Pentecost means, 50 days. And it was a time that after the Passover, the original Passover, that thanks was given, and it was set aside as the day of worship. And it still remains to this day. What is significant of Pentecost Day now, that's the day that the Holy Spirit came. That's the day that our Comforter comforted us. That's the day that He came and He dwells with us in spirit, and gives us knowledge and wisdom. Okay? So, Ruby from Texas. Recently, I have received from friends emails informing that the Revelation says that the Antichrist will be a Muslim about 40 years of age. Where did they get such an idea? Or have we missed something in at least two times we have studied through the wonderful book with you? I hope I have been correct in responding to each such declaration by replying that Revelation does not say this at all, but that who the Antichrist, it is clearly stated in Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and following, and that he is the supernatural being, not a human being involved in the personage. You got it right. That's Satan himself as the false Messiah. You hang tough. If it's not written in the Word, it's false. Okay. Many times you get these so-called super preachers that like to throw little chunks in that really can be very misleading and draw people away from the real truth. That's why God was so upset in today's lecture that people will listen to garbage instead of listening to His Word, listening to our Father. Brett from California. Question, can you explain the abomination of desolation? Oh boy, can I explain the abomination of desolation. Spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, standing where it ought not in the holy place. That's the Antichrist standing in Jerusalem claiming to be God. Daniel chapter 9 verse 27, where Antichrist comes in on the wings of desolation. He is the desolator. I am out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse, most of all, God loves you for it. You know something? It makes His day when His children seek that knowledge whereby they're not destroyed. You make His day, He's going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, this, that you stay in His Word every day. And His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Even with lots of trouble, it's still a good day. Trouble can be all around you. You know why it's a good day? When you stay in the Word, because Christ is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word.